you turn with me to the third chapter of Colossians? Colossians chapter 3. So blessed to be with you. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. Lie not one to another. Now, it's never okay to tell somebody a lie. You know that. Thou shalt not bear false witness. But what he is talking about isn't so much telling out and out lies as projecting an image. Now, why am I saying that? Because he, down a verse or two down further, he says, we're all one in Christ Jesus. Don't project yourself to be holier, or just be yourself. Don't project an image of religiosity and piety where you're trying to make a distinction between yourself and somebody else. Don't project an image. Just be yourself. You know, we're all alike. I'm just like 7 billion other people. We're all just alike. You take it, you know, there's no difference. No difference. And in Christ, oh, we're all alike. Perfectly like Him. There's no difference. No difference. So don't lie to one another. Don't try to project some phony, pious image. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now here we read about an old man and a new man. An old man and a new man. Now, he says, put off the old man. Does that mean that I don't deal with the old man anymore? No, if that was the case, I wouldn't sin anymore. I have an old man right with me right now. Hate him, can't wait to get rid of him. He's a continual grief to me. And he's a continual grief to you. This old man, this sinful man, this man that is nothing but sin. But we also read of a new man. The new man in Christ Jesus is called a creative act of God, a new creature. Light be, light was, the creative act of God. Life be, light was, the creative act of God. And this new man, you know, the old man doesn't do anything but serve the new man. That old, wicked man that you have, you know what he does? He forces you to look to Christ only. And really, he is a slave of the new man. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know it, but he is. The old man and the new man. Now, this new man has a new knowledge. I love that passage of Scripture. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go on reading. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where? Where? There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. Now, where this knowledge is, all fleshly distinctions are done away with.
Amen.
Every single one of them. This is the only place where they are. Where this new man is, there's no Jew nor Greek. All racial distinctions, all social distinctions, all religious distinctions, all intellectual distinctions, all gender distinction even, and cultural distinctions, they're done away with in Christ. You are all one in Christ Jesus. That's why he said, don't lie to one another. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Paul said in Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. All these distinctions, we're the same. We're the same. There's not clergy laity. There's not one up here and one down here. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, what is this special knowledge that the new creature, the new man, possesses? Here it is. And Cody prayed this at the end of his prayer, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. Now that's the understanding of the new creation. That's what the new creation knows. If God has done anything for me or you, this is what we know. I mean, this is what we're in complete agreement on. Christ is all. Now, I fear that becoming cliche to me. That's what I fear. Okay, I got that down. Let's go on to something else. No, there's nothing else to go on to.
No.
Christ is all. In all. Everything we hear must pass through this gate. Christ is all. If it's contrary to that, it's wrong. Everything we believe must pass through this gate. Christ is all. If it doesn't pass through that gate, we believe the wrong thing. Anything we experience that's contrary to this, Christ is all, is an experience we better crash. Any question we may have, if the answer is contrary to Christ is all, we don't have the right answer. In our preaching, everything that is said must go through this gate. Christ is all, or it is not God-inspired preaching. Now, this is what every believer is united on. Oh, we have such agreement here. Christ is all. Now, we know that, first of all, because I just read it. This is what God's inspired word says. Christ is all. And we believe this because God's word says Christ is all. But you know what? We have a great desire for Him to be all. Because if He's not all, that means something expected out of me. And I'm in trouble if that's the case. I greatly desire, I know the Bible teaches He's all in salvation, but I've got a vested interest in this thing. If He's not all in salvation, I am in trouble. And so are you. I love thinking of this. Christ is all. And He's only all to you if He's all you have. If you have anything else, if you have any experience, if you have anything you've done or stopped doing that gives you some kind of assurance of salvation, it's false. Christ is all. I think the best way I can illustrate this from the scripture is to talk a couple of minutes about an individual named Mephibosheth. Most of you remember him. David has become the most powerful man in the world. He had all the countries paying tribute to Israel to keep them from getting in trouble. The scripture actually says the fear of David came upon every nation. God blessed him in such a way that he became the most powerful man alive. Whatever he wanted, that's what was done. And after 2 Samuel chapter 8, when you read of all of his exploits, it's put him into this position of power. Chapter 9 starts off with this: is there any yet of the house of Saul that I can show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? For Jonathan's sake.
Amen.
Not for any other reason. You see, he remembered a covenant that he and Jonathan had made many years before. Jonathan said, I know that God is going to make you the most powerful man in the world. He's going to destroy all your enemies. You're going to be top dog. Now, after I'm dead and gone, will you remember my descendants in mercy and show them kindness? Jonathan has been dead many years, and from this position of power, he remembers this covenant and says, is there any from the house of Saul that I can show him the kindness of God for Jonathan's sake? God says, is there any of the house of Adam that I can show kindness to for Christ's sake? And the man by the name of Ziba, he was one of the servants. He says, yeah, there's one. But he can't do anything for you. He's lame in both of his feet. You see, he became lame through a fall. He was dropped. And he's lame in both his feet. He can't work for you. He can't fight for you. All he can do is be carried. That's it. There's nothing that he can bring to the table. You want him? He can't even get to you. Go fetch him. Go fetch him. He's brought into the presence of David. He didn't know what was going to happen. He knew he was in the house of Saul. And usually what they did back then, you just kill everybody in the house of the king. Just take care of that problem. He can't come back and get vengeance. He didn't know what was going to happen. And David looked at Mephibosheth. His name means shameful thing. Why would somebody name their parent or their kid that? But he did. Shameful thing. Mephibosheth. He looked at Mephibosheth, and I don't have any question who he saw. He saw Jonathan. He said, I'm going to surely show you the kindness of God for Jonathan's sake. Now, what is the one reason? This is what I'm trying to talk about Christ. What's the one reason that the Lord would have favor on me or you? For Christ's sake.
Amen.
You see, Christ really is all. You believe that, don't you? Christ is all. All God has for the sinner is in Christ. Christ, the Lord, God's prophet, God's priest, God's king. Christ the Lord. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the one who brings us to God as God's priest. Jesus is the King of all, the one who rules, the one whose will is always done. Jesus is the Christ, and Christ is all. In all. All God has for the sinner is in Christ. I love this. Christ Himself is the pledge of salvation. What do I mean by that? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall he not? Now what that means is there's nothing mean you can do to mess this up. How shall he not with him freely give us all things?
Yeah.
Christ is all. He's all we have. He's all we need. You're complete in him, the scripture says.
Yeah.
And really, he's all we want. I just want to be found in Christ. That's all I want. That's my only desire, to be found in Christ. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. He's all for us. He's all to us. He's all in us. Even the faith we have is from him.
Yes, yes.
Now, I got several statements I want to make about this Christ being all, but we got to begin here. Jesus Christ is all in the Scriptures. Now, you haven't understood the Scripture. I haven't understood the Scripture until I understand this. Christ is all in the Scripture. To him give all the prophets witness. He said, you search the Scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life. If I can just figure out how to do what this says to do, I'll have eternal. They are they which testify of me. All of them. I think of what the Lord said to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He said in verse 25 of Luke 24, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. O fools and slow of heart to believe all, A-double-L, all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning in Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in some of the scriptures that pertain to him, know that in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. That's all the scriptures. All the scriptures. Christ is all in the scriptures. Most of you have heard this, but maybe some of you haven't. Spurgeon tells the story of a young man who, after he finished preaching, he was pretty impressed with his message. That's always funny when somebody's impressed with their message. I'm sure I've been. You know, he comes down cocky and asked an old believer, what do you think about my message? He said it was a very poor message indeed. And the man was shocked. He thought it was good. I mean, he said, well, was my speech poor? No, it was great. Were my illustrations good? Yeah, they were fine. Was I wrong in my doctrine? Well, no, you said what the... No. Well, what's wrong then? You didn't preach Christ. And the man replied, but Christ was not in the text. And the man said, young man, there's a saying that says every road leads to London. And every text leads to Christ. He is the only message of Scripture. All Scripture. And if I don't see that, I don't have the meaning. No matter, well, I know the historical context. Who cares? Christ is all in all the Scriptures. And we know this because this is what the Word of God teaches us. Christ is all in all of the Scriptures. Christ is all that God is.
Amen.
He's all in the Scriptures, and he is all that God is. He's not like God. He's not like God at all. He is God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is God. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. He is God. In the beginning was the Word, a distinct person. The Word was with God, a distinct person. The Word was God. the same was, eternally was, his isness always the same was in the beginning with God. He is the image of the invisible God, and all we'll ever see of God is Jesus Christ. He's the express image of his person, the brightness of his glory. Philip said, "Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." I think of what the Lord must have sounded like when he said, "Have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me?" He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. Now, that word counselor is a verb. He's not somebody you go to get good advice. He's the one whose counsel, decrees, are always done. He's the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Somebody says, "Explain that." I wouldn't give it a shot. I just believe it exactly as he says. This is that child that's born, that son who's given, and the government is upon his shoulders. He, Christ, is all that God is. And Jesus Christ is all in the purpose of God. Jesus Christ is all in the purpose of God. God's got one purpose. God's got one agenda. The glory and honor of his dear Son. Everything God does, he does for the glory of his Son. I love the way that parable begins about the wedding garment having, but it starts this, and this is a summary of the whole Bible. This is a summary of all that's true. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son. That's his purpose. That's what all the Bible's about. It's for his son. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, God created the universe for the glory of his Son. That's his only purpose. He wasn't lonely. He created the universe to display the glory of his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, the fall of Adam. Could God have prevented that? Of course he could. It was a part of his purpose. It was a part of his purpose. The fall of Adam was so that Christ could go to the cross and manifest his glory. That is God's purpose in all things. The glory and honor of his Son. That's his one purpose. He doesn't have another purpose. One purpose. And Christ is all. It's what Paul called in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everything has one purpose: the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't love him, you probably won't like that. But if you love him, you want it to be that way. Jesus Christ is all in all of God's counsels toward man. All that God has for the sinner is in his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, "He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." And that's the only kind of blessings that are eternal. God's blessed me with, it's going. You know, I got a good house, I got a good car, I got health. Well, you're going to lose all that. The only blessings that count eternally are spiritual blessings. And he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All that God has for the sinner is in his Son. And listen to this scripture, 2 Timothy 1:9. Everyone has ought to have this one committed to memory. He saved us, and he called us. What came first?
Saved us.
He saved us. Then he called us. Every aspect of our salvation is all complete because Christ is all. He saved us. He saved us. I love that language, don't you? He saved us. And he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. All God has for the sinner is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God will not speak to nor be spoken to apart from his Son. All that God has for the sinner is in Christ is all. Jesus Christ is all in salvation. Christ is all in salvation. Now, the best way I know how to illustrate this, if this is not even an illustration, this is the truth. This is just the truth. Christ is all in salvation to this extent. Salvation does not end with the forgiveness of sins. Well, if you believe, if you repent, if you fill in the blank, you will have the forgiveness of sins. Salvation does not end after you follow some kind of formula with the forgiveness of sins. Salvation begins with the complete, full putting away forgiveness of sins. That's where it starts. You don't do something to be forgiven, you find out you've been forgiven. Salvation begins with the full, free forgiveness of sins. Now, how can you say that? Because Christ is all in salvation. That's how I can say that. Christ really is all in salvation. I don't have anything else. I don't do anything to bring about the forgiveness of sins. Christ is all in the forgiveness of sins. He's all in salvation. All that God requires of me, he looks to his Son for. You believe that?
Yes.
All. Jesus Christ is all in salvation. I think of everything that we experience or understand from the Bible in salvation. He's all in it. He's all in my election. I've chosen in him. Christ be my first elect, he said, then chose us in him our living head. He's all in my justification. I'm saved by his righteousness. He's all in my redemption. He paid for my sins. He's all in my new birth. He birthed me into the kingdom by his Spirit. And you know what? The knowledge, the evidence that someone's born again, they really believe Christ is all. Do you believe Christ is all in your salvation? Do you really believe that? If you do, you've been born of God. Christ is all. That's the knowledge of the new creation. Christ is all in our doctrine. No doctrine is understood apart from Christ is all. No doctrine is understood apart from union with the Lord Jesus Christ, being one with him. He's all in all of our doctrine. You know, I've got several things written down here, but I'm just going to deal with this one thing. If you would use one word that most completely describes God's salvation, it would be the word sanctification. Now, how is that? Well, sanctification, most people, most religious people look at it, they kind of separate it from justification and it's holiness. Well, sanctification is set apart. I was set apart by God in eternal election in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was sanctified. I was set apart. I was declared to be holy by the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I was sanctified by the Spirit of God when I was given this holy nature, this new nature that was not there before. And the reason I'm given this nature is Christ is all in my salvation. I have the mind of Christ. It's not just that I think like Him. Every believer has his mind. He's all in our preservation. We're preserved in Christ Jesus. He's all in whatever doctrine it is. He's all. He's all. The Lord Jesus Christ is all in providence. You know what that means? That means everything that happened yesterday, everything that happens today, and everything that happens tomorrow, without exception, is His will being done. He's the cause. He's the cause of all things. But He's the cause of all things. Or are you saying that? I'm saying He's the cause of all things. He said, I form the light, I create darkness. I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. And everything that happens is His will being done. Isn't it wonderful to live in a world like that?
Yeah.
Nothing to worry about, really. I mean, whenever we start worrying and fretting and being upset about how somebody's treated us or what's happened, it's His will being done. What a joy that is. I wish I could put that in a bottle and just never forget it. Everything that happens is His will being done. He's the Lord of providence. He created time and space, the universe, and everything that happens in time is His will being done. He's all in providence. He's all in providence. And He is all in our experience of the gospel. Now, what do I mean by that? He's all in our experience of the gospel. Well, He's the author of our faith, isn't He?
Yes.
And He's the finisher of it as well. And somebody had to believe God perfectly. And it ain't me or you. We didn't do it. There's never a time when we can say, I cannot say, I believe, help thou my unbelief. It's always there. It's always there. And yet we can't not believe either. The new nature always believes. The old nature never believes. You know that, so. But I'm looking to His faith. That's what I believe, is His faithfulness. I live yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know what I repent of? I repent of anything that's contrary to Christ. It's all. It's wrong. It's wrong. That's what repentance is. You repent of anything that runs contrary to Christ is all. You know, in my experience, when's the last time you confessed your sin properly? Has it ever happened? Well, in case you're wondering, let me tell you, no. No. There's always been a measure of insincerity. There's always been a measure, even the very sin you're confessing, you know you'll commit it again. I hate saying that, but that's so evil. That's the wickedness of our... My confession is no good. But He said in Psalm 38, I'll acknowledge my transgressions. I'm looking to His confession. How about your sorrow for sin? You ever been sorry enough? Have you ever had true sorrow as it ought to be? You don't even know how bad your sin is, and I don't either. But He said, I will be sorry for my sin. My sin truly became his sin, and he said, I'm sorry for it. And he's the only one who ever was able to express true sorrow. You know, I was trying to preach a couple of weeks ago on meekness. And meekness is that attitude before God. It's a Godward attitude. It's what only the elect have. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's that attitude that says everything God does is right with regard to me. By His grace, it's all good. I bow to it. And that means when somebody mistreats you, if you're meek, you say, God told him to do that. It was good for me. It's exactly what I needed. Now, how often do I feel that way? And I said after the service to a lady in our congregation, I said, I don't know if I know anything about meekness. And she says, well, the Lord's meek, and that's your meekness, His meekness. You see, He's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, what gives me assurance? Christ is all. What gives me peace? Christ is all. What is my hope? Christ is all. What makes me happy? Christ is all. Jesus Christ is all in our experience. Any experience we have that's contrary to Christ is all is no good. It's not real. Maybe you're having a dream. Maybe I don't know, but it's no good. Christ is all in our experience. He is all, and listen to this, He is all, Christ is all in our motivation. To seek to serve, to avoid punishment, or hope of reward is mercenary. It's just mercenary. It's not real. Christ is all is what makes me not want to sin. Somebody says, well, if you say Christ is all, that'll encourage people to sin. Not a believer. I'm not worried a bit about that. And hearing that Christ is all is what makes you want to follow Him. To deny yourself. You know what's going to make you want to deny yourself when you see Christ is all? You'll want to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all in our preaching. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I'm still thinking about what Chris said. If any message we preach, if we can't title it Christ Crucified, something to do with that, we probably ought to get rid of it. Not probably, we should get rid of it. We should get rid of it. I don't care what the subject is, if it's not Christ is all, Christ crucified, it's no good. And you know, I really believe that. I believe that. I'm not just saying that. I believe it. Christ is all in our preaching. Anything that's not Him, where He's not all, is no good. Christ will be all in judgment. You know, the thief understood this. Lord, remember me. That's all that's needed. You remember me. When you come into your kingdom, you're not going to stay dead. You're going to come back as a mighty, reigning, ruling king. All the faith the Lord gave that man. He saw that one nailed to a cross. He knew he was the Lord. Lord, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The only difference between someone that's saved and someone that's lost is Christ is all. That's it. And He'll be all in heaven. David said, as for me, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. The Lord said, Father, I will that They whom you've given me, be with me, in that they may behold my glory. Now that is heaven. That is heaven. Christ is all. Christ is all. Amen.